Hello.
Hi, Beth. How are you
Hi,
doing?
Ingrid. Hey,
Nice to
everybody.
hear
I've got this is actually my second interview with Ingrid, and wanted to reintroduce yourself to everybody.
Yes, I would love to. My name is Ingrid Aubrey. I'm a singer-songwriter out of Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada. And yeah, this is our second chit-chat.
Yes, and almost exactly 8 months to the date, to tell you the truth. I was looking at when we did the last one.
Oh, wow, right on.
Yeah. So
Love
what's been
that.
going on since we last talked? I know you're getting ready to go into the studio. You sent me a demo of one of your song yesterday, and I really loved it.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, it's I mean the music's been written for quite a while. But over the summer, my girls and I moved into a new home. So that was a big shift and change for us over here, but still plugging away in the background and yet getting the demos done and ready to bring into the studio and have a team to help support the additional sounds to be. And yeah, it's exciting.
Right,
It's
right. Is it going to
yeah.
be all acoustic, or are you going to do something add to it, or?
I believe it is going to be acoustic. The drum tones we're going to bring in are going to just be a little more of an earthy vibe and just keep the authenticity of the original piece. So, yeah.
Yeah, I really like it. I really like it in the acoustic. It's a really cool song. I can't wait to, hear the final production on it.
Me too.
I mean, that's really great. So yeah, and you've been continuing to do some of your art and music and new home and all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, it's just kind of one of those things where it's just like the next shift and the next level, and here we are, and now I have to cut grass and do all these things and be a mom and be a songwriter and have my careers, and it's like spinning 20 plates at once in the air. And but I love it. I wouldn't have it any other way. So
Well, you're a
yeah.
lot like me. You're like multi-talented, and you do all these different things. You have all these different things that you do. Like I do my insurance writing job. I do my photography. I do my lyric writing. I do my art. Some drawing, which I'm finally starting to be able to draw again. You knew about my arm injury, and
Yeah, and that was what, about a year since that happened for
That
you,
was a
hey?
year ago, September 22nd,
Oh,
when I
wow.
fell, and my hand is still really stiff. There are certain motions. I'm really clumsy, and it's really bad because I'm clumsy on both hands instead of just the right hand, because I'm left-handed.
Oh
But the fingers work real well. The hand itself gets real stiff. So there's certain like motions, like with my insurance job, my writing job. It's hard for me to like copy and paste long things. So my editor has to help me out with long copies and paste.
Yeah,
But
well,
in
that's, I
terms of
mean, good you have a
typing, I mean,
team.
I can type, I can still type, I can still write. I just finished an entire analysis, and this is really exciting for our listeners, of the new NAIC Pet Insurance Model Act. So I went through and analyzed
Okay.
that, and so she was just finished. My editor was fin just finishing working with that today. I'm doing that. I'm doing more lyric writing. Actually, I had
Cool.
and I've talked about them a lot here on my podcast. One of the country music, actually is a mega star, had asked me for some specific type of lyric. So in September,
Okay.
I had
Yeah.
done probably about five or six for him and sent it off. And I know that there's one that he's definitely interested in working further with. So that was really exciting. And
Yeah, that sounds amazing.
yeah, and things are still slow, in terms of getting with my husband, and we've had a lot of stuff we've had to fix, and I think we've identified who caused a lot of the issues for us. We need to get that
Okay.
who contained. And it was exactly who I suspected way back nearly 5 years ago, because we've known each other for 5 years. And
Yeah, relationships are tough. They are tough. Oh my goodness.
And if it's somebody from his past who refuses to let go, who has caused untold amount of damage and issues for us, and along with some stuff with the music industry, which has not been real pleasant to get through, but we know that we're getting through, we know that it's getting fixed, we know that things are getting better, and you know, and hopefully Nashville's going to start being a lot more fun for me. It's been like the best of times and the worst of times in terms of since I've been down here in Nashville. I went through some of the hardest times I ever went through in my life just because of, you know, the stuff that had happened, you know, that had happened, you know, that we had happened, all the bad stuff. And then it's also been
there
great.
There is such a beautiful element of
wonderful people. You know?
Yes. Yes. Oh, that's great. That's great. I was just going to say, you know, it's, I'm glad to see you just kind of holding the faith and keeping that faith within yourself, because it's, for me as an artist, so key. Yeah. You need to, because there's, you know, really exciting moments, and then there's lulls, and then there's chaos and drama and all this absurdity.
And I'm so sick of drama. I don't want any more drama. I am so sick of it. I've had enough drama the last 5 years. I never want to deal with this type of drama again. You know.
Well, did you get a chance? And we hadn't really talked about this because we just talked about the single that I'm working on. But I'd sent another podcast with a song called "Loaded Gun."
Yes,
and it has
a
very relationship vibe to it. And for me, being reflective, like the root of that song really is about my relationship with myself. But when you hear it, it sounds very like a relationship between two people.
Right.
But the, one of the key lines in there is, I'm not going to show down with a loaded gun, but I'm going to show up.
Yeah.
And that's what we have to keep doing, and just kind of remember, like, who are we fighting here? Like, what are we doing?
I had a friend talk me down. I wanted to personally go after this person on social media, and a friend said, no, don't do it.
Yeah.
You know,
that's
be the bigger person. Because, you know, there have been moments that I have wanted to tear this vindictive, nasty, nasty, nasty person down, you know, who's caused so many issues for us and caused so many issues for me here in Nashville. Mm-hmm. You know, I came here to Nashville a long weekend, expected everything to be great. And I have been stuck in this, you know, this, I feel like I'm in the witness protection program at times. Yeah. To tell you the truth.
Well, then this single really is fitting to life and its situations.
Yes. And you know, I don't get vindictive women. I just don't get that. I mean, you know, I think we've all
Okay. You know, it's I don't think we have to understand everything, but we can look outside and see this person, this energy, and it doesn't resonate with us. So the more we let it in or let it into our consciousness, the more we're giving it power, despite what it's doing. Just go off in the corner.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm going to keep living my life. Carry on.
And that's what I've been trying to do. And you know, he's been telling me, you know, just, you know, always look on the positive side, always be happy, always looking forward, you know, stop living it, you know, stop, you know, reliving all this.
And, oh, it's so true. There's so much peace in just surrendering to it and just saying it is what it is. You know, for me, I always try to pick out the, how did this impact me in a way that I can be grateful. And if it allowed me to be the bigger person, then yes, I'm grateful to have chosen that for myself because that creates peace within me.
And I'm grateful that we've gotten through this and, you know, what we have together is still intact. And despite everything. And I think it really makes you stronger, but it's also taught me a lot about the music business too. And
fair.
You know, and how, you know, some of it is just, it's just so awful, you know, and how anybody could treat people like this, you know, and go through this type of stuff. You know, you could be the most successful person in the world, but if your record label, you know, is really crappy to you.
Yeah. You know, I used to, well, you know, I'm a hairstylist by trade, and one of my clients, she's passed away since, but she was assistant director to one of the higher ups in CBC Radio.
Uh-huh.
And one of the things that she taught me and that I took home from was that music isn't my be all end all. That artistry is just part of my life. And to, you know, look at the rest of my life as the bread and butter that, you know, fulfills me, because things can shift so quickly. Things can just dissipate so quickly. And if you've cut off your life for one element of who you are, you know, she said she saw it all the time, and it was really sad for her to see. So, you know, appreciating the music element of things, because it is a gift. And if you can just like rock it out of here with your music and just, you know, be that megastar, that's amazing. But even that has, you know,
it has a lot of pitfalls. It really does. I know a couple of them, and they tell me just how hard it is. Celebrity part of it, the people always wanted pieces of you, the people riding your coattails, the people that stick their claws into you and don't let go, you know, because they're always wanting something for themselves, and they're not thinking about who, you know, the celebrity is. And the celebrities are just real people. It's just, they just happen to have a job that takes them out into public, in the public eye. And they're no different than the rest of us, you know?
It's true. It's so true. And I observe humanity. Like I think I said last time, I'm constantly observing like what works, what doesn't work. And one of my big brothers is a radio personality here on one of our local rock stations, our bigger rock stations here in Winnipeg. And I got to witness what life is like when you are that person that everybody knows and you know, the expectations and the desire to be with and this and that, and you know, there is more drama, and you just kind of want to live your life in peace, but you also want to do what you love to do. So yeah, there's a lot of balance and just presence that needs to happen in there, so that you can do what you want to do peacefully. That's my goal: do what I love to do with as much peace as possible,
and that's
myself,
what
so
that's
I can
what
enjoy it.
That's what we want, and that's what I want for my best friend. And it seems that people just don't quite grasp, you know, they're just real people. They're just they go through all the same things we go through. They have, you know,
it's true.
It's they're no different than anybody else, other than, you know, they have this career that takes them out in the public eye. And it's really crazy. You know, I had told you about that fan that I had tried to help, and that was a disaster. And everything. So it's kind of like you just get in this mindset that you know, celebrities are so special, and they really aren't. They're just real people. Stuff. So I mean, that's kind of what I've been dealing with, and the highlight so far of my year was being able to be front and center at Kenny Chesney's Nashville stop.
I saw your photos of that looked amazing.
That was truly amazing. That was probably the best experience I've had, because, you know, I have written some lyrics for him and everything, and I do know him. And so it was just kind of coincidence. I was supposed to be able to have, you know, access to the show, and it didn't come. And I found a way through a very kind member of No Shoes Nation, Jody, who had a ticket. She was going through a divorce, and she had this ticket. And I just happened to meet up with her the night before at the No Shoes Radio Blue Cheer Bay pre-concert party that they had. And she graciously gave me the ticket, and she was got amazing. There early, and she was one of the first in line, and somehow miraculously I ended up front and center, and it was the single most amazing experience, because I've seen Kenny before. I've seen him up in Albany, New York, and but I had not was not I was still in San Barbara. I was not that close. And so I was able, you know, I was right there front and center, seeing everything. And of course, Carly Pierce is amazing.
Yes.
I loved her set. And I love her song with Ashley McBride, Never Wanted to Be That Girl. I mean, the first day I heard that song, I was immediately singing it before the end of the song.
Yes. Oh, that's so great. And that was one of the songs I mentioned the last time we spoke
that
stood out in your conversation with her. Yeah, that was a great song. She's a great songwriter.
Yes, she is fantastic. And she put on this most fantastic show. And Old Dominion, right, I mean, they really bring it. Old Dominion is just incredible to watch. And cool. Of course, you know, Kenny just did the single with Old Dominion, Beer with My Friends. And because there's all these deer here where I'm staying, where I've been staying, there's this deer herd up here. And so I was joking around. I actually sent him a text and said, I'm going to start singing Deer Are My Friends instead of Beer With My Friends. And I was going to make
thing.
And I was going to make a video. I was going to make a video of me with the deer in the background and singing Deer Are My Friends instead of Beer With My Friends. You know, because he knows I do these song parodies.
I was going to say, you love a good parody.
That's how I started writing lyrics for him, is that I had sent him two parodies I had done. Five and a half years ago for the retirement of my former boss.
Right. Right.
He said, you got a knack for this. And so that's how cool. I had started with sending lyrics to Kenny. But I haven't done it because I can't stop laughing when I say, dear are my friends, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I just can't, I don't think I could put it together, but I had really debated. I'm sitting here putting this video in my mind and writing the song in my mind, you know, changing the lyrics.
Right. So.
But back to that concert, you know, Dan and Shay did a great job too.
Oh, right on.
That was fantastic. And of course, Kenny always brings it, you know, and that was just such a fantastic, fantastic day and meeting members of No Shoes Nation. Some of them, a couple of them are going to be friends for life, to tell you the truth.
Right on.
And so that was really a highlight. And I had really wanted to get up to the Columbus, Ohio show. And I wasn't able to get up to Columbus. I was really disappointed because that's my hometown.
I was going to say that's cool.
That was the disappointment, because he had asked, he said, what tickets do you want? And I said, Nashville and Columbus. But I got to go to Nashville. I got front and center. That was the most incredible thing. My dream came true, you know.
Oh, that's amazing.
And so that was fantastic. And so I was really excited. And, you know, I'm just doing my thing. Trying to do photography, you know, still doing some photography. I just don't get out that much.
It's been a pleasure to see, like, you always bring Nashville to my phone and my awareness. And it's nice to see the seasons changing. And, you know, I really appreciate the photos you take.
Nashville very doesn't beautiful. Have as thank you so much. Nashville doesn't have quite the changes that Ohio does, but it still has this all four seasons. Mm. So, you know, it does stay a little warmer most of the time, but it still has the seasons, which is nice.
What is your winter like in Nashville?
We'll get like a month or so of real cold weather. And sometimes it starts a little earlier, like December, you know, it's a little earlier than like up in Ohio. Mm-hmm. But less snow for the most part. Now, we have had a few times where we've had some significant snow here. And Nashville pretty much shuts down the moment there's even a quarter inch of snow.
Right. I mean, did you have snow last year, right?
We did have snow last year. We had one snowstorm. I was still on the west side of Nashville where I was staying. And we had one snowstorm. It was probably about a foot. And then there was another one the year before in 2021 in February that was about 20 inches here that took several days to get rid of. We had a couple decent snowfalls last year. But, you know, I've been in Columbus, Ohio, and we've had, you know, winters where we've only had 6 inches of snow the entire winter, you know, an inch here and an inch there. And then other times you get socked with 20 inches at a time. But
Well, I'm from Winnipeg, so we're built for
You're built for the
our
snow.
community is built for the snow. And it's, you know, as a child and even with my girls now, like it's snow days are so few and far between because we're so prepared for it. It's almost like painful. And, you know, you see, you know, more cities like Toronto, you know, and in Ontario, when they get hit, you know, hard, it's like, it's a little more foreign to them because they're definitely warmer than we are here.
Right.
But yeah, it's always kind of disappointing where you're like, oh, it should be a anywhere else. This would be a snow day. And it's just well, like, nope, go to school.
Well, you know, that was like that when I was growing up in Upper Arlington, Ohio, you know, in Columbus.
Yeah.
We never had snow days. They sent us to school. I remember going to school, walking to school, sixth grade, in a blizzard conditions.
Yeah.
They had us there for about 2-3 hours and they sent us home. And it was like a scene at a Little House in the Prairie where you couldn't even see across the street. And us three girls were walking home from our elementary school to our house, which was about a little more than a quarter to a third mile away from the school. And we were frozen by the time we got home. And it's like, you made
but
us
that's how we did it back
in
the day. You know,
blizzard.
Kids just walked through blizzards and now it's just, kids have it so easy. They're so pampered.
And then by the time my son, you know, my son 32 years younger than I am, he's going to the same school system. They constantly had snow days. It's like, there's 2 inches of snow on the ground. They're expecting 2 inches of snow. You're shutting the school for the day. You've got to be kidding me. You know, I mean, I would drive home from lunch in high school with 6 inches, you know, when 6 inches of snow was coming down because they had us still there. I would go home for lunch and go back.
Yeah. Oh, too funny.
So, you know, I mean, I'm used to the snow. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't really bother me. I actually do love the snow, but it's just funny how it just shuts down.
Absolutely. I love one of the benefits of having such a wintry winter and snowy winter up here is using that time to kind of cozy in and get creative and just it takes a lot to go out sometimes. You're like, oh, okay. But you know, the home that I just moved into, I have a garage for the first time in like 20 years.
Well,
and
see,
that makes
I had
such
a
difference.
And I had a garage in Columbus and I miss it, you know?
Yeah, it is nice. It's a real treat. Like, I'm grateful.
Yeah. I miss
especially since
having a garage.
I just got a new vehicle that's, you know, kind of a crossover between a vehicle and an SUV. And I'm kind of short. So brushing that sucker off is, you know, I was like, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
Just move and get a garage. Yeah.
Well,
sure.
The funny thing is I still have a little Lexus CT that I have and it hates snow.
Right.
It hates snow. I had this like 6 foot. I mean, it was like an incline at the end of my old condo complex in Upper Arlington. And if it would snow more than 2 inches, my little car did not want to go up over that. I would have to go get kind of a running start from the street. And you had to make sure that nothing was coming to try to get up there. And I would get about halfway up there. So I would stop the car. I would walk through the rest of the drive, go into my garage, get my snow shovel, have to shovel it out because, you know, they hadn't been there to clean it out the condo complex yet, just to get my car up the hill. I mean, and this was just a small little hill. It hates lots of snow.
Yeah. Well, our plus side is we're the prairies, so it's pretty flat. You know, there's not a lot of hills here, so it's a little bit easier.
Where I'm from is there's no hill. There's basically no hills, but there was this hill at the end of the condo complex. You know, into the drive of my condo complex, and my car
carry some like kitty litter or sand in your trunk for some traction.
Yes. Well, the nice thing was once I got to that point, as long as I got my car off the street, I could go get a snow shovel. So.
Right.
Did a lot of snow shoveling for that, but and here I don't even they have plows, but they don't salt things. Like I mean, I've seen a few things brined, but you know, Columbus always was so good about getting out. At least Upper Arlington was about getting out there and brining the streets and so you know, the worst of it was usually mitigated up in Columbus. Well, here it's very different, so.
Yeah.
But
And
the
so I think we just
nice thing about working remotely now with this other job is that, you know, I just have to get up out of bed, take the dogs out, walk over to the desk and sign in. So.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think you just described in this conversation about 20 what the fuck moments.
Yes. And that's your song. Talk about your song.
That's the song. Yes. It is. It's called What the Fuck. You know, I definitely mentioned that the last time we were talking. I was like, can I cuss on your show? Is that, do I have
yes,
a pass?
Yes, you can cuss on the show.
it's funny because it's one of those songs that, you know, it's so, you know, what the fuck, but it's all about peace and love. And
oh, yeah. It's actually a beautiful song.
It really is. And you know, I'm a natural songwriter, so I'm not the type to just sit down and say, I'm going to write a song today. It just kind of tends to flow naturally to me. And it's almost like a little lightning bolt. And I just feel it and I write it down and then I have to learn it. And it's awkward for me because I'm not, you know, I'll be the first to admit I'm not the most technically trained musician, but I can play a guitar to write a song and I can play it from my soul.
Right. Well, you know, I bought a guitar. And I'm trying
to
learn how to play because I was trying to use it for hand therapy. Well, I played clarinet and saxophone in elementary school and middle school up through ninth grade. And I self-taught piano. I understand chords on piano, but I get to this guitar and I have no clue. I'm trying to, because I know how to read music. And I'm sitting here trying to figure out chords. So I just bought it just for hand therapy. I probably will have my husband teach me at some point, but I just get on there and I just wail away at it.
Yeah, and that's perfect.
I just make whatever
that's
weird
exactly
noises
what
I
do.
Want to, and I found no pick is easier. I just kind of, you know.
I don't play with a pick either. I'm more of a fingernail.
I use fingernails and I'm very rhythmic. I should probably have been a drummer.
I need a drummer.
I probably should have been a drummer, but they didn't offer that choice when I was in fifth grade. The school system I was in fifth grade, which I only went there in fifth grade, and they didn't offer you the choice to learn drum. And I had wanted to learn drums because my friend the year before at the other school that I had been, she was playing drums, and I'm sitting there and she's teaching me, and I'm really good, and I think I'm a natural drummer because I could keep a beat and everything. But I get into these rhythmic patterns on the guitar, but it's just fun to kind of wail on it. I had had another one that I had bought for my son and it didn't go anywhere. And I'd had my mom had this Martin guitar that was a early 70s model. Beautiful guitar, but my niece ended up getting it before I gave it back to my mom and my niece took it. So the only thing is I need to get a case for this guitar, but it's just a cheap guitar. And I just went up and got it. And I said, I need some kind of something, hand therapy, just to, when nobody else is in the house, I just get it out and I just wail on it. You know, because I need that outlet and I need to keep my hands active. And I've been doing knitting too, but it's like, I just gotta, I have to have something. And I am very musical. I just am not a trained musician. I mean, you can give me something and I can hack it out on the piano. If my teeth are still ruined from the fall too. My teeth are still tender.
Oh, shoot.
So playing saxophone is probably not I could probably do it, but my teeth are a little uneven. So I'm not so sure how much I could play saxophone or clarinet anymore, but I really wanted a saxophone. And I walked into the store and I'm like, I'm not spending $2,000 for a saxophone, you know, because I would want a tenor saxophone. You know,
I used to have a tenor saxophone. I used to play the tenor. Yeah.
Because I have the alto one, but it's up in my pod still in Ohio, and it needs to be I had played for my husband. I was playing the saxophone for my husband, and the mouthpiece got stuck on the cork in the top of the saxophone, And so I just threw it into the case when I took it apart and threw it in there and never took it off. When I took it off, the cork, it dried out and pulled the cork off. So I got to get it totally recorked. But good old Italian saxophone. But it needs a little work done to it. But if I could get when I get my pod down here, we're still waiting on the house situation here too. So I'm still renting. But I found a decent place right now where things are pretty cool right now. But definitely want him here. I want our house. I want this all situated, and I want to be able to sit and really write songs. I mean, write lyrics and work with the musicians, you know, and stuff, because I've got some really good lyrics out there, but I'm not enough of a musician, at least not with a guitar, to put something. And I'm not a singer. So,
right.
I mean, I can do like weird voices and stuff, and I can imitate people, you know, for a couple lines or a chorus, but to carry a whole song, I just can't do it. I mean, that's just not me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's, I know for myself, like I did not think it was for me either. And I think everybody in the world knew I was a singer before I accepted that I was a singer. Uh-huh. And I would put myself in the box of, oh, I'm only a songwriter. And people would just laugh at me. They're like, you're such a singer. And I'm like, shut up. Like, I'm a songwriter. Cause I didn't, at that time, I don't know if it was the confidence or the courage to own that, because I thought, how cool would it be to write music that people resonate with and have other people play it and then just kind of live my life. But then, you know, the last producer I linked up with said, yeah, but you have to be the artist to get the music out there. So then the people hear the music, and I was just okay. So it was this whole a world of discovery within myself. And now I take accountability for the fact that I'm a singer, because I am.
I don't think I'm very good. Some people have a soulful voice, but I don't think I'm good enough. And I get off key and I forget lyrics. And you know, there are certain songs I know real well. You know, if Kenny had said to me, come up and sing You and Tequila with me, I'd come up there. I'm no Grace Potter. Yeah. There's a few parts I can't do. But I could do You and Tequila, and I could do Better Boat with Kenny. If Kenny said, you come up here and do this with me, I could do those two songs. And I might be able to do Setting the World on Fire, but I don't think I could do it justice the way Pink and Harmony do. So I could probably do those. And I know the words to all three of those songs all the way through.
Oh, right on. One of the things, too, that helped me sort of move forward musically was, you know, not being super technically trained, but then sitting with the acceptance of, okay, I'm a single mom, I have two daughters, I have my entrepreneur careers that I do, I'm balancing all these plates, but there are trained musicians out there who do studio work, who do performance work. So it really took a lot of the pressure off myself to do and learn everything. And that was just one of the most freeing moments that I had for myself. And being able to trust the simplicity that comes through me, because it is very raw and organic.
Right.
And then have other people fill those spaces. Like, oh, that was like, it was just a relief to hear
that. Have you seen my interview with Aaron Okasik?
I have not.
Okay, you need to listen to my interview with Aaron Okasik. Aaron is Rick Okasik's one of his middle sons, the late Rick Okasik of the Cars. Mm-hmm. I've known members of the Okasik family since 1985. Through my son's father, but I've known them. You know, people been in the family, you know, married in the family and stuff like that. But anyway, I interviewed Aaron. Aaron had, you know, he grew up around his dad's music and everything, and he had played guitar, but he had never tried writing music or singing until you know, the pandemic, and he stuck, you know, inside. And so he was going around on the guitar, and then he started writing these lyrics, and he came up with these songs, and he just put his album out last month.
Oh, right on.
And it is a fantastic album. It's got so many influences in there, there's a couple songs that sound like the Cars. I actually went through the entire album and told him what influence I felt in there. There's one song that has kind of a Roxy Music Avalon type sound to it. And he's got kind of a Pete Yorn type voice. It's a little reminiscent of his dad's, but not quite. And, you know, it's not a total, you know, takeoff of his dad's or anything. And it's just this really great album. And Aaron should be so proud. But Aaron, like, Aaron had never taken, you know, had never sung before. And so he told me, he was telling me how he had gone in to find a vocal coach. And the vocal coach was, yeah, you want to learn how to sing, you know, Creep by Radiohead or something, you know. And he said, no, I want to learn how to sing. You know, I want to sing my own music. And so he was telling me how he was sitting in his apartment in New York, you know, in New York City. And he's in the closet and he's practicing his singing every night.
Oh, that's awesome.
until he learned how to do this. But he, you know, he even though he grew up around, you know, the music with his dad and everything, he, you know, he had these studio musicians who came in and supplemented him, and the album is just fantastic.
I'm so excited to do that. Oh boy.
And
so a long time coming.
Before you go in the studio, give a listen to Aaron, because he's somebody who I think you could really relate to.
And yeah, well, I always take notes when we're talking and you bring up you know, other musicians and things. I'm always writing them down, so it's in my consciousness to check out.
Yes, but I think that there's really some stuff in there that you know, if you're going in there, going into the studio and just kind of, because there's kind of a vibe like in the songs that you've sent me that I've heard of yours, and kind of a vibe into some of his songs that I think, you know, there's some stuff there that you know, beneficial to both of you. And he's such a nice guy too. He really is.
Right on. I'll check him out for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I was really, really enjoyed talking to him. So, but yeah, I love connecting people, and I love meeting all these different people, creative types, you know. So,
yeah, I mean, there's just something so special about artistry and the purity and the depths of the soul that it comes from, and has the ability to resonate and connect with other people and heal and inspire and uplift. You know, it's like the world needs that now more than ever. And there's so many forms of it going around. And to be a creator for me is just like, it's a very surreal experience, you know, when you're playing a song and people are brought to tears by it, or you see them smile a little bit bigger because of it, or just, you know, rage with you and like, what the fuck is going on? You know, like it's that's nuts. Like that comes from us, from our soul. And it's just such a gift, I think, to the world. And yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. So I was just reading something from my boss. I'm multitasking here.
All good.
Work. Yeah. I mean, I love the, I was able to connect with briefly, and unfortunately I'm not able to do her coaching at the present time, but Tiffany Napper, who is another person that I did an interview with, she had invited me to this creative women's event down in West Nashville in June. And had the opportunity to meet with some other women. There were several photographers there. There was this other girl, and it turns out she's a property and casualty agent. So, you know, I was able to talk insurance. I was able to talk photography. I was able to talk art.
I think music. I heard you were talking about her on a podcast, or you had her on. There's an interview. That sounds familiar.
Interview with Tiffany, and she's a fantastic lady, and I would love to do more of her coaching stuff, but it just is not workable at the present time, but I highly support everything she does, and these women that she's connected with, it's just so fantastic. I mean, it truly is. I mean, the people that I have met in Nashville, you know.
Did you say she's from Nashville?
She is originally from New Orleans, but she's here in Nashville, and she's starting to coach in some other cities too. I think she's looking at Charleston, South Carolina, and there's some other cities she's going to start opening up the coaching to as well. I don't think she's going to get up there to Winnipeg, but
Yeah. And sorry, is it like a life coaching,
There's a
women's
little bit of
empowerment?
life
What is?
coaching. It's life coaching. It's a little bit of creative coaching, how to bring out the best of you, how to be a female entrepreneur.
Yes. Okay. I do remember hearing all of that. And there was there was honestly a part of me that was just like, ooh, is this online? Like, that sounds really dope. Like,
Oh
it would be cool
yeah. I
to
mean, if
check out
nothing else,
sometime.
get on her email list. I mean, she's got some fantastic ideas and things that she does, and some of the like breathing exercises that they were doing at the event, to breathe and to clear your head and get into the zone and everything. And some of the advice
So
that they gave
key.
too, they had the ladies from Ruby Money there too, who were talking about it when you are an entrepreneur and you need financial, you need that financial background there. You need something to help you do your taxes, to help you budget and everything. And so, I mean, it's just this really comprehensive thing that she offers. And I think it's really important for women especially, because not all of us have the advantage of the business background. I mean, I grew up with a mother who was very business oriented, her own insurance agency, ran her own business, instilled a lot of business principles in me. But not everybody has that. In high school, I was able to take accounting. I was able to take, kind of business related type stuff in high school and in college without being a business major, the basics. I mean, I've got a good solid, basics, even though I was an art major. So, yeah. So I understand, the financial side of a lot of this stuff. And I think that it's really important, when you are a creative to have that good financial backing, people and good people, financial people working for you. Because there's a lot
Yeah,
of
definitely.
major artists who get stuck with these financial people who are only in it for themselves. They're screwing you over. They're,
Oh, it's so
and
true. If I've learned
yet it's
anything, it's being very mindful of the people around you and the team that you carry
assemble.
with you, and yeah,
Yeah.
that you assemble, because you just see so many stories of artists, and it's heartbreaking.
Yeah,
It's
it is
so
heartbreaking. It is
heartbreaking.
heartbreaking. And even top artists, there's people that take advantage of them. And there are people that have caused so much harm in their life because of poor financial advice. And I have actually taught two country music megastars about how stocks work. In investing, because I worked in a stock brokerage, a brokerage firm for a while, and I had to explain, the buying and the selling of the stock and settlement dates and given some advice, because they were not put into the proper investments. And it was unsolicited, not paid for, not professional advice. This was just basic learning stuff. So I'm not going to get in trouble here with the SEC or or anything, I just, I'm not licensed. These were personal people that I knew as friends that were asking me who needed to know how this stuff worked.
Yeah, there's so much information in this world. Holy smokes, it can be a little overwhelming sometimes. But
It
it
is.
is like
It is.
it moving forward. I know I can't learn everything about everything, but I like to just have an understanding,
Right,
and then again vibe with the right people, and just pray for the best. Let go and let
right.
God.
Oh yeah, and it, it takes a while. It takes a while. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, it does. With this song, What the Fuck, like, I actually wrote it probably about at least 8 years ago, if not a few more. And it was just kind of one of those things where, you wrote it and people are like, well, that's awesome. Like, why aren't you doing anything with it? Like, why aren't you releasing it? And I'm the type of person, it's like, well, yes, I could, but I also, a part of me just knew I had more to learn and more to grow, and just, balance within myself, and just figure that out before I just did something I wasn't ready for.
Right. I think if you stop learning, you stop living. You have to be a lifelong learner.
Absolutely.
I mean, there's always something new to learn, and there's always something new out there to experience and to try. And, you know, if somebody said to me 5 years ago, I would allow myself to be photographed, let alone take selfies of myself, post them on social media, allow myself to sing on social media, allow myself to do a podcast, to speak publicly, I would have laughed at you. I would have said you're out of your ever loving gourd. I don't want you know, my voice recorded. I don't want people hearing. I don't want people seeing, you know, what I, you know, who I am, what I look like. And I had to learn how to be comfortable in front of the camera. And like I send my husband a selfie, a smile every day that we are apart. I send him a smile. Aww, I send him a photo. Sweet. Of smile to make his day. And by doing that, I learned how to be comfortable in front of the camera. So every so often I'll get one that I really like. So I post on social media so that people see, you know, this is me. And I post, and like my Facebook is private. So I'll post those a little more frequently with my, you know, for my friends and everything. Mm-hmm. And it feels good, you know, when people say, hey, you look just like you did in high school. Well, you know, there's a few more gray hairs and wrinkles. Yeah. But, you know, thank you. You know,
It's true. The art of the selfie and self-appreciation, it's tough, you know, and we kind of touched base on this in our last conversation with the beauty industry kind of breeding insecurity in a lot of people. Yeah. And then they get nervous to do pictures, and, you know, people will comment on my stuff and they're like, you take like the best selfies ever. And like, how do you do it? And I'm just like, I just do it, you know, and I don't always like them. And sometimes I'm more raw. Sometimes I'm more vulnerable. Sometimes I'm more made up, and it's just no shame, you know? And, my daughter laughs at me because I have a picture in my, framed in my living space. And it is a selfie. I was encouraged to print this from my life coach. And so I printed it big on my wall. And every time my daughter, she's 21, every time she brings her friends over, she has to laugh at me. She's like, check out my mom's selfie, her friend's selfie on the wall. And I'm just like, but it's such a cool picture. And it is. Yeah. And people commented on it all the time. And I don't think you can really tell it's a selfie until it's said out loud, but yeah, it's an art form. And I mean, bless everybody for trying and appreciating themselves. And
yeah, you know, and it's like, you know, like when I get a full body shot, it's like, oh God, I don't like it. Oh, I, you know, but I've learned how to accept the selfie of the face, you know, I mean,
yeah.
Although sometimes at different angles, you know, it's a little bit of double chin or something here, you know, I mean, but I know the angle that I'm going to make myself happy. And of course, you know, the recovery too, with the injury on the nose and everything, I think it's really important, you know, cause I do, my nose is never going to be completely, you know, I could fill it in with makeup and spackle and all that stuff, you know, but it's always going to have that. But I think it's important to feel good about yourself. And like, you know, I still struggle like with body image, you know, I'm 5'5", I'm probably 50. I don't think I'm 20 pounds heavier than I want to be, but I'm, you know, I'm bottom heavy. Mm-hmm. And I would like
big booty. You know,
yeah,
I would like to, I'm like, I think that's a good thing.
I'm bottom heavy, you know, and it bothers me sometimes, you know, that I'm bottom heavy, but you know, I still wear regular size clothes. I mean, it's the upper end, you know, I don't have to go to, you know, women's sizes or anything, but it still bothers me because I always imagine myself being a little bit taller, a little bit thinner, you know, and it's like, you know, sometimes I see pictures of myself full body, I'm like, you know.
You know, and so many of us go through that journey. So as an artist who is about to put myself out there, like, I'm opening myself to criticism because some people are going to say, oh, you're beautiful. And some people are going to say, you could lose some weight.
Yeah.
You know, and there's so many things, but you have to be able to accept yourself and love yourself. And it's just one of our most important jobs here is self-acceptance and self-love and care, because what we put in ourselves and have within ourselves is reflected outward. And size really doesn't matter. Age, race, gender, it doesn't matter. How do you feel about yourself? Because that's what's going to wake up the room when you walk into it. It has nothing to do about size.
Right. And I still struggle with that from time to time, but then, you know, I'm fine with like how my face is aging. I'm fine with the gray hair, but I just sit there and I still struggle sometimes with the body image. And I've also had to go gluten-free. So if I eat anything I can eat a little bit of stuff like with white flour. I can enjoy a little pizza again. I could have a donut every so often, but it has to be white flour. But I notice I get bloated and that bothers me even more. So the times that I go a whole period being totally gluten free, you know, I feel so much better about myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, that's the even crazier part is when you see what sort of society is pushing towards health or not health or just what they're sort of feeding us. Well, within that, that's great, but there's so many different types of people that it's not cookie cutter. You can't just feed everyone the same information. Everybody has their own intuition with their body and what's good for it and what's not. And it's like, there's days where I just want to graze on, you know, some grapes and some nuts because that's all my body wants. But then there's days where, you know, I could eat two steak sandwiches and fries, like over, you know, and my body just needs it. And I think we're way too hard on ourselves.
I was telling my friend the other day, I said, I want a bacon barbecue burger from Steak and Shake. I said, you know, cheeseburger. I said, I really shouldn't eat the bun, but my body is craving meat. So I had to go get it. And then the next
day. Do you do like a lettuce wrap? Lettuce bun?
I could do that. But as I said, I can eat a bun every so often. It'll be okay.
Right.
But and then the next day, you know, I went back to salmon and rice and.
Yeah, gotta treat yourself once in a while. Eat the burger. I love burgers. They're my favorite food.
Every so often, I just gotta go do something like that.
And
not feel guilty about it because I love food. I love to cook. I love to eat. I love, you know, talking about food. I mean, I've been watching old reruns of MasterChef. And
oh, right on. I like Iron Chef. That's one of my favorites.
Yeah. What is the one where they get the boxes and you have to that Ted guy who used to be on Queer Eye, Chopped. I like that one.
Oh, yeah, with the mystery box stuff,
and you have to figure. You have to cook within the confines of what's in that box.
Oh, those are my favorite. I feel like I would just lose my mind and go into the fetal position and start crying. I would try, but I don't like. They're so creative, and obviously that's their lane. It's not my lane, but it is so fun to watch. There's another one too about leftovers. Where they're given sort of mystery leftovers that they have to create a whole new meal from. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, like.
Uh-huh. Well, so but I love cooking my mother taught me what I call refrigerator cooking. It's whatever's left over in the refrigerator, you got to use up. And you got to find the creative way to use it up because you're not supposed to waste food.
My mom was like that too, my parents.
Occasionally there's just some stuff that's just like, and it's not going to work. So
for me, it always results in soup. Just put it all in a pot and bring it to a boil and see what happens.
Yeah, add some spices. Throw everything into the soup pot and see what you come up with. Throw a few spices in a bay leaf in and see what you end up with, you know?
Yeah, I am actually very impressed with myself as a cook because I don't tend to follow recipes. Uh-huh. And it is because of doing that fridge cooking, it's like, what can I make, you know, and you have to get creative, but having that sense of taste and smell with your spice and I think there is an intuitiveness to that creation of food. It is art, you know, and
it is. Yeah.
Food is so good.
I know. Food, music, photography, art, you know, that's what you need.
So I did send you the demo. I didn't know if you were going to play it or what you wanted to kind of do.
I really can't play that here. I can't play it, but if you have a way to play it, you're welcome to.
I do have my guitar here.
Why don't you play a little bit for us and
okay. Well, I mean the song is called What the Fuck. I'm just going to unplug my headphones here.
Okay.
Can you still hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, great. So yeah, it's called What the Fuff, and it's just kind of, I mean, we all say it. How many times in a day you're just walking around and you're like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
But I also don't like to stay in that mind space. So it's kind of a song to myself to quit feeling sorry for myself, quit feeling sad, mad, and just, you know, bask in the glory of peace and love and higher vibration.
Right.
Which is a journey that for me personally, and I think a lot of people can attest to this, I do not wake up bright and chipper every day. I have to balance and ground myself into that peace before I start my day. I don't know if everybody's like that, but I am. And
I'm like that. I was asked the other day, are you always grouchy when you first wake up?
Yeah. And some days I feel fantastic and glorious, but not every day I do. So this is a reminder to chill the fuck up. And it's called What the Fuck.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
It's all right. It's all right. It's all right. Jessica said to relax. Chill out. Chill out. Chill out. Scream out loud. Let it out, let it out, let it out. What the fuck? What the fuck is going on? What the fuck?
Yeah, having trouble hearing the guitar, but we can hear the lyrics.
All right, that's a little
piece.
Preview of the song.
Yeah, so we'll be so excited when it's finally released, when you get in the studio and get something released. That's going to be so fantastic.
I'm pumped. Honestly, I'm so pumped for it.
So, and you know, I'm going to promote it every way I can.
when I first wrote that song, my dad, he's so sweet. He's a retired banker, but he said to me, like, Ingrid, please don't sing that song. Like, every show I play, like, Ingrid, just don't play the What the Fuck. And I'm like, Dad, are you kidding me? I'm like, you literally, you know, were this high-powered banker, and you taught me how to cuss. You taught me how to slam phones. Like, I'm playing this song, you know? But it's so sweet. He's just the cutest.
Well, I was with my friend in the car, and she's like, you turn into this totally different person when you're in the car, because I cuss at other people, and you know. And
oh,
like,
yes. Yes.
My late stepfather, the pathologist, was the one who taught me how to drive, and he would always cuss in the car. Now, I'm not aggressive to other drivers. I'm not going to
cause any kind of road rage to other drivers. Yeah.
But I want to tell you exactly what I think of your driving, and if you're riding in the car with me, and when I had the kids in the car, I used to have to try to control it.
For sure.
So she's like, Fudge. You turn into this totally different person because you cuss like, you know, you cuss like a sailor.
But it's almost like there's an authenticity about, you know, driving in the car. And it's true. You're not mad at the other drivers. Well, I'm not anyway, but it
doesn't. I have a lot of What the Fuck moments in the car. It's the car that is doing it. You know, to me, I take the person out of the equation who's behind the wheel of the car. And it's, you know, it's the Porsche in front of me, the red Porsche that's pissing me off. Or it's the black SUV that's pissing me off. It's not the people. And she said, you know, that's a police officer in there. I said, well, he still pissed me off.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to say anything to the police officer, but I'm going to say, you know, if you cut in front of me the way that you did, that's going to piss me off.
That's funny. So now I'm starting to understand the two best ways to get to know somebody in a relationship is take them for a car ride, maybe in rush hour traffic, and then build some IKEA furniture together.
Yes. That's the way to find out how they worked. Yes. Yes. I had to put my bed frame back together here the other day, and I hadn't put it together for several years.
Yeah.
And she could, my, you know, my friend couldn't understand why I was so upset about putting this bed frame together. I said, you know, this, I'm going to cuss. I'm going to, you know, cuss my head off, you know, because it's not an easy bed frame. And she was sitting outside while I was putting, she says, you didn't cuss once. I said, well, that's because the hardest parts were still together.
Oh, fair enough. Fair enough. You know, I do like to take those experiences, and it's almost an outlet for frustration that you're holding inside, but you get to like, take it out on the bed. Or, you know, for me, it was learning how to cut grass. I freaking bawled my eyes out the first time I cut the grass.
You know, I have only ever cut grass,
oh my gosh,
once in my entire life. My sister had begged to, my younger sister had begged to get a lawnmower so she could cut the grass and make money.
Okay.
And my mother relented, bought this lawnmower when my sister wasn't mowing lawns. So my mother one day said, you must do it, Beth. You must do it. Well, I went out and I made sure I did the worst job ever of mowing the grass. So my mother never asked me ever again to mow the grass.
Good plan.
And so all my homes that I have lived in, either I have rented from somebody or I have lived in condos.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
So I have never had to do my own grass.
Yeah. Well, I cried. And, you know, my grass was so long and so wet that when I was finished cutting it, and I didn't have a bag on it, so the wet grass fell over the clean grass. Oh. And then I'm looking at my neighbor's and his is just like diagonally cut and pristine lines. And I had a little cry about it. And but then the following times I learned to, like, this is a great, it's exercise, it's hot outside, I'm in the sun, I'm a little frustrated today, so I'm just pushing this mower around, and, you know, it became a fun thing after.
It's kind of like me with vacuuming. I love to vacuum, because that's like the time that I can, you know, I could belt out songs, I could cuss my head off, you know, whatever I feel like, you know. And my poor best friend, when I get frustrated with all the stuff that we've gone through, you know, because he's the only one who knows both myself and my husband real well.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets these voice messages where I said, I'm sorry, I just got to let it out. But you're the only person who knows all the details of everything that's going on, you know.
Yeah, it's nice when people hold space. I definitely try to be mindful of what emotional stuff I'm bringing to the table, because I want to keep, you know, this sort of light energy flowing. But every now and then, yes, we just need that soundboard, someone to listen and just, you know.
Well, he's to the point. He'll say to me, just send a video. He says, you know, when I get frustrated, he says, just send a video. And whether he listens to him or not is another story, but it just allows me to get it out, you know?
Oh, that's perfect. I love that so much.
And I don't always do that. A lot of the times I'm very appreciative of everything. You know, it's a good friendship and everything, you know, him and his wife and my husband and myself, you know, it's this great, fantastic friendship. But there's just times that you just have to have somebody who knows what's going on in your life, who mm-hmm. knows everything that we've gone through, everything we're working on, everything, you know, that just lets you vent.
Yeah, it's
and he
true.
Just lets me vent.
So. Well, that's good. It's nice to have that. I'm very appreciative of the people in my life who let me vent. Yeah, I do always kind of tend to come in with an apology after.
Uh-huh. I'm so sorry. You know, co-write a song here. Let me vent.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, we need to come up together. You think about it. I'll think about it, and let's come up with something about let me vent. About
ooh,
the
I
need
like
to vent.
That.
The need to vent, the need to get it out, to let it out, you know?
Yeah.
So let's think about this and see what we come up with. And you're the musician too. So let's see what we can come
no
up
pressure,
with.
No pressure. No, I'm
no
just
pressure. No pressure. I'm just, you know, even if you just get a couple chords in there and make it.
Yeah, like no, I'll definitely sit with that. It's already written down and underlined, ready to go.
Let me vent. Yeah. Okay. This is something after I get off work and get all this other stuff done, I'm going to start thinking about this. And I want to see what you come up with too. I'm really bad at choruses. I'm better at verses and better with like starting lines, but we need something about let me vent, you know, almost like an Alanis Morissette type.
Okay. Yeah.
Deal, you know how she kind of let some of that stuff out. I mean, something good about letting me vent.
Yeah, we need to do that. We'll throw in some road rage in and
throw some road rage and
some vacuuming, you know, cutting the grass, but let me vent.
Let me vent.
No, yeah. I love it. Looking forward to that.
Well, I got to get back here and get some stuff done and everything, but I have so enjoyed talking to you again, Ingrid. And
right on, likewise.
I'll let you know as soon as I get this up. I've got a few things, production things I got to do here, but once it's up, I'll let you know. And we're gonna come back with our song here soon. Let me vent.
Yeah. Well, thanks again for having me. It's always a pleasure
to
connect
you.
and you bringing me into your town and always inspired.
Yes, and we're going to get you down here to Nashville, and we're going to have some fun, too.
Absolutely, girl.
Okay, you take care, Ingrid.
You too, Beth. Thanks again.
All right, bye.